Hey everybody, welcome to episode 111 of the Metal Detecting Show podcast. My name is Kieran and I have been metal detecting now for nearly 30 years. This week I talked to Dilek from Nocta Macro, or is it just Nocta these days? You'll have to keep listening to find out and see. Hey everyone, before we start, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast this week and I hope you enjoy the show. But before we begin, I want to give you the following information. If you want to give me feedback or interact with the show, please reach out to me on Twitter at DetectingThe or Instagram at The Metal Detecting Podcast. Or if you want to pop me an email, you can at Kieran@TheMetalDetectingShow.com. And lastly, and most importantly, if you like this content, please don't hesitate to tell your friends and don't forget to hit that subscribe button. The director of sales and marketing, but also the voice of Nocta. Everyone knows who she is, but please welcome Dilek from Nocta. How are you doing, Dilek? How's things
good,
today?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks for coming on the interview. We've been trying to get it together for about a year now at this stage, but you know, it eventually worked out between COVID and the Legend release. You know, I'm sure everybody was very busy. So we'll get straight into the interview. You're often seen as a talking head for Nocta, but tell the Metal Detecting podcast community about yourself and your role within Nocta. I know I just said you were director of sales and marketing, but Can you elaborate on that?
Sure, correct. I am the director of sales and marketing, but I'm actually involved in more than that at the company. I interact a lot with the engineering team, the quality team. So basically, I'm a part of the upper management here. And so I actually do a lot more than, you know, sales and marketing. And it is true that I am the, people call me the face of Nocta. I think that's just because I am the most talkative one. and I think it's because of my English level, proficiency level. A little bit background about myself. I was, you know, born and raised in Istanbul, Turkey. I finished high school here, but then I went to USA and I got my bachelor's degree and MBA, master's degree in America. And then I decided to stay there and live there for a while, which is almost like 17 years, somewhere around that. Mm-hmm. And then end of 2009, I decided to come back to Turkey and then got my job at Nocta in 2010 and have been here since then.
So 12 years at Nocta Macro. Is it Nocta or Nocta Macro? Because you see different thing.
What's the official branding?
Tell me.
Actually, when I first joined it, it was Nocta because Nocta and Macro were two separate companies back then. And as a matter of fact, these two separate companies were owned by two brothers. And two brothers were literally competing with each other in the same, you know, sector, industry. And then I think it was around 2014, 4 years after I joined the company, we bought out Macro. And we became, like one company. But we changed the brand to Nocta Macro because some customers were familiar with the Macro brand and some were familiar with the Nocta brand more. So we didn't want to lose those customers and we wanted them to understand that it's actually the same company now. So we've been calling it Nocta Macro. But recently, actually only a couple of weeks ago, I announced on our Facebook page and to all our distributors around the world that we're now removing the word Macro from our logo. And the only reason we're doing it, I mean, I've been waiting for this actually, it's too long. I mean, back in the days, maybe not many people were familiar with the brand, but I mean, thank God today we are in every country in the world and everybody knows who we are right now. So we're removing the Macro part and we're Nocta now.
Yeah, everybody just says Nocta anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you're 12 years at Nocta. And so what makes you stay at Nocta? this is a real job interview type question now. What makes you stay at Nocta now?
The challenge. The challenge.
Is it a big challenge?
Well, it's been a big challenge, okay? Because when I first started here, nobody had heard of Nocta or Macro, you know, in the world. So it's been a great challenge, you know, to step into a sector where you have absolutely almost no brand awareness. You know what I mean? You go to rally, which is like years later, like when I first started going to rallies and hunts, that's like years later after I started, where you don't see anybody swinging your detector. You know what I mean? So, and it's been my, you know, kind of like challenge, and it's been my promise to myself and to my company that, you know, I, together with my team, with the whole team, of course, bring this company to a whole different level. And the other thing is, think of it this way. This is what I always say to people. Nocta, you know, is not my job only. It's beyond that for me. Because when I took Nocta, think of it like it was a baby. So it's like my child. It was a baby. So, you know, I fed it. I spent a lot of time and effort on it and watch it grow to be a child and now into adulthood. You know what I'm saying? So that's
absolutely,
what
we say at Nocta. Wow. And so you mentioned rallies. You mentioned rallies and you mentioned, you know, going to detecting sites. Do you detect yourself?
Not really. Okay. First of all, I have no time to detect. Like, seriously. Yeah. I'm a workaholic. People who know me closely, that's what everybody calls me, including my husband, my friends, whatever. I'm a workaholic. That's what I am. You know, so I come here in the morning and I don't go home till, I don't know, 8, 9, you name it. And then I do work at home. You know, I get up in the middle of the night to join, you know, podcasts and, you know, to do interview, whatever. So first, I have no time. And the second thing is, metal detecting here in Turkey is not as easy as it is in the UK or other countries. You know, the laws are more strict. So I do have my, you know, detector, and I do it sometimes. But would I call myself a real detectorist? No. but I have a couple of detectors. And so when I'm on vacation, when I have the time, yeah. But other than that, I don't really have the time.
So there'll be no Detect with Dilek YouTube channel anytime soon, no?
No. I think people have enough of my lives to be honest. I don't think they want a Detect with Dilek channel.
You speak very passionately about Nocta, right? And I can actually see now how your fan base is very passionate about Nocta as well. And they're very vocal and very much like the early days of MineLab, when MineLab came out with, say, with the E-Track, way there was like fanaticism about it and it was the best detector. But I've seen the same with the Simplex and now I'm seeing the same with the Legend. Why do you think this is? Is this just your expression of the passion yourself, that it's getting into the community? Or what do you think it is? I mean, it's a very passionate fan base. You know, I'm not even going to say it's brand loyalty. It's an actual fan base for the brand, you know?
I mean, listen, of course, I cannot really speak on behalf of the fans. You know, everybody's different. Mm. I mean, but okay, so as a character, of course, I mean, people who know me, yes, I'm a passionate character. And it's my character. I cannot change that. But I think the biggest factor is the fact that, I mean, if you watch my lives and if you see, you know, like when I get aggressive, most of the time it is in defense, okay, of the brand or of the product. When people start making false claims or when people start, how can I say, bashing the product or the brand or the company without even touching my product. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
That's when I can get really passionate and sometimes even aggressive, okay? Because this is how I see it. I am all about fairness. That's all I want, okay? Fairness. So this, like, I always say this. So it is, of course, every consumer's right, okay, to like or dislike a product or to use or not use a product, to like the company, not like the company, or to like me or not like me. We're fine with that. But what really gets to me is when people start making comments, okay, about a product that nobody has even touched yet. Okay, you know what I mean? And I've Absolutely. Gone through this with the Simplex first and then with the Legend even to a higher level, okay? So as a company, from day one, this is the promise we made to our, you know, users or to this industry. We as a company, we are a company of the people and for the people. Okay. Yes, it is true that we're in business to make money. I mean, without money, you cannot really, you know, make investments and come out with products. But then again, our primary goal has never been to maximize our profit, but to become a global brand, to increase our brand awareness, and to give the best of the best products at the best prices to the end users. And that's what we've been doing, okay, for many years now. And that's why, you know, when people start making, you know, accusations or false claims, I kind of feel the responsibility to first, you know, correct that information, okay, and to stand up for my product and for my company. Other than that, you know, I mean, I'm sure you know, we are a company that also, how can I say this? We accept our failures too, our faults too. When something goes wrong, if there is something wrong, we're the only company in this industry who stands up and says, yes, we have a problem. I mean, when we first released the Simplex, we had a huge coil issue, okay, in the UK. And we stopped production. And I personally sent an email to all the distributors around the world and also made posts on every Facebook group that you could imagine, on every forum that I was a member of, saying we stopped production because we have a problem. I mean, which other company really, you know, admits and says we have a problem, but we're, you know, we're going to fix it and we're going to return back to production and we're going to let you know. Nobody else does this. So we're trying to be a very transparent and a very honest company. We are not perfect, like no manufacturer is, okay? But like I said, I mean, so when a group of people approach a new release in the manner that they shouldn't be doing, I think, yes, I can get passionate, and I believe so does our, you know, fan base. But what I see is really most of the time, it's a response to the attacks, most of the time. I'm not saying there are no exceptions to this. But I always even say to our fans, don't be a fan of a brand because this is not a football game. This is not soccer. This is not football. You know, I don't think the consumers need to compete. Manufacturers must compete, not the consumers. Manufacturers should compete so that the end users benefit from it, because everybody strives to come out with a better product at a better price, and then the end user wins. That's what I always say. But, you know, you can't, you know, help it. There are people who take it to a different, you know, like a football kind of level. That, I know I talk, yes. I talk a lot, sorry.
No, you're good. That's perfect. That's perfect. But I do mention on the podcast several times around this concept of a bias, so a purchase bias. A person buys a detector, you know, they may buy the Deus 2 and pay $1,600 for it, and they've paid out so much money that they feel that they have to have the best detector. So they've got this bias towards that, oh, I've paid this money, it must be the best, so therefore yours must be the worst. And you do see a lot of that across the community. Whereas I'm of a mind where I kind of look at a detector as like almost like a musical instrument. If you're able to play it, you will do well irrespective of what it is. So I have no brand loyalty really in that regard.
Exactly,
that's the message I put out.
You touched upon something very important, and I understand that psychology. Everybody is like that, you know. Like, for example, what I do, you know, like I'm a consumer for many products, right? If I pay, you know, a certain amount of money for a product, then I try to avoid seeing similar products or the same products at the less price because I'm going to feel bad. Oh my God, do you know what I'm trying?
Exactly.
I understand this human psychology very well, but, and it's okay. And you know what? This is how I see it. So these are all great detectors. My product and my competitor's product, they're also great products. You know what I mean? So it really all depends on what you expect out of a detector. And I've been saying this. Let's say you paid $1,600 for a detector. If the light, you know, weight factor of it, because that detector, the $1,600 detector, is the lightest in the industry. And I always give a lot of credit for that design and for that, you know, weight factor to the manufacturer. And I love that manufacturer. So if that weight factor is worth the amount of money you're spending for you, that's fine. Or let's say you're a diver and you're going to dive, you know, 20 meters. You cannot do that with my Legend. Then that's fine, you know. But the overall feel of it, or whatever, you may feel like, yeah, this is what I love. I love the sound better. I love this better. Whatever your reasoning is, that's fine, you know. But what I am against is for certain people go up on social media and try to convince others. Now, that's where I have a big problem. Try to convince others that because they paid $1,600, a $750 product cannot compete with it performance-wise. And this is what I say. I actually put up an open challenge to everybody out there. Come challenge me and my team on any hunt, okay? If you're going to find two times more with that detector, I'm going to pay for that detector personally. That's what I've been saying. Because fact is a fact. At the level the Legend is today, performance-wise, it's on par. And even under certain scenarios, better than the two competitors. This is a fact, okay? But then again, we're not telling people to go and buy the Legend and not buy the others. We're just giving them a choice. But when it comes to performance, unmasking, and all those, like, you know, the main features or specs of a detector, that I will fight always with anybody that says Legend is inferior, because it's not.
No, I agree 100%. So you talked about the Legend. Assume I know nothing about the Legend. Now, I haven't used the Legend yet or anything like that. I've looked at a couple of videos online, but assume I know nothing about the Legend. Give me the spiel. Give me the sales pitch on the Legend, and tell me all about it.
As everybody knows, it's a simultaneous multi-frequency machine, okay? That's what people have been asking for from Nokta. And I am very honest and serious about saying this. We started working on it because, you know, we see that there was a demand for it from end users, okay? So it's a simultaneous multi-frequency detector that also has 5 single frequencies. It's a waterproof machine. Waterproof up to 10 feet, fully submersible, okay? And it comes with very, really good quality Bluetooth headphones in the package, okay? And it's got every single, you know, setting a detector would need, okay? from you know, your recovery speed to number of tones, to adjusting your tone breaks, to adjusting your threshold, to you name it. And with the latest updates, actually, now these features now have even increased, because I personally put up a post on many forums and Facebook groups asking people what else they want to see in the legend. And people responded. And we added probably 15 extra features and settings and improved things. For example, when we first released it, we didn't have an iron filter setting, okay? And some people refer to it as an iron bias. We had not put it there in the machine purposely, okay? Because that setting in the hands of inexperienced users, you know, can be a little tricky. You may start missing things. You know what I mean? That was the only reason. But then again, a YouTuber goes out there and puts out a video, oh my God, the hell breaks loose. And we said, listen, we can do it. It's not because we cannot do it. We preferred not to do it. If this is what you want, we promise we're going to give it to you. And we did. But we gave a lot more than that. People asked for a mute function. We did it. We added actually another multi-frequency, because initially it had only two, M1, M2. Then we added M3. What else? People were complaining about icons not, you know, being very visible because they're small. So we made them blink. I mean, you name it. If you go to our website and look at the features and the settings we added to the device, it's just enormous. And actually, we're not even done, because there are a few more requests from customers that we're trying to implement into the next update, 110. So my sales pitch would be, like we've been saying, from day one, do not accept paying more for less. That's what we say. It's really a great product at a great value. Just because we're selling it at the price we're selling it at doesn't mean that it's any inferior to any simultaneous multi-frequency. It's just our company policy to price it so we can actually reach a bigger crowd. Because fact is a fact. Especially today, you know, in these economic conditions where every economy, I mean, excluding any country in the world right now, are going through inflation, high inflation, price increases, you know, electric, gas, whatever. We really want, like I said, we want to be a people, a company of the people and for the people. And that's the only reason why this machine is sold at the price it is.
Yeah, that community aspect does seem to be very much a core value of Nocta. I mean, every example you're saying there is, we went to the community said X, Y, and Z, and we did our best to fulfill that. The price was designed to, you know, to hit more of the community that we possibly could. And even now you've got the new update tool coming out to make it easier for the community to do the software updates. After update 1.09, or is it 1.10 now, is coming out, you're going to go out with a beta program to just push it out to everybody and people can feedback.
Yes. Here is the thing. Some people complain, oh, haven't you tested this? Yes, we have. That's what they don't understand. We tested here internally, out on the field, you know, for many, many hours. Then we send it to certain testers. They tested many hours. And then everything looks fine. We release it. But once we're talking about now a huge crowd of people around the world start using it, that's sometimes when an issue comes up. I mean, obviously, we cannot really correct something that we have never ever come across. Do you know what I'm saying? And then, absolutely, you know, yeah, I mean, yeah. The other day, you know, people were, you know, arguing and saying that we didn't pick qualified testers. And I'm like, okay, guys, who is a qualified tester? Who is? Do you know what I mean?
Not me. Absolutely no way.
There is no such thing, because, you know, this happens not only in this industry, in the whole world when it comes to electronics and software, period. I mean, people don't realize how many updates for phone companies are given. Because you just download it, you never read. Sometimes I read them. You have no idea how many bugs they're fixing. Without you knowing. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So that's why, because whatever we do, I know that we cannot make everybody happy, right? Whatever we do, no matter how much we try, somebody or a group of people complains. So you know what? We decided for the next update, so that nobody can complain, we're going to release it as a beta version. Anybody has an issue, comes across a real issue, though. Okay? You know?
Yeah.
We're going to look into it, and we're going to fix it. And of course, we're going to give a time frame to people because we cannot wait forever, you know? So let's say, I don't know what the time frame will be, but okay, 2 weeks, go. Whatever you report to us within 2 weeks, we're going to look into it and we're going to fix it. And then we're going to release the final version. That's what we decided to do. I mean, if there's still people who complain, I will just say, sorry, we did our best to make you guys happy.
Well, I suppose for me to come clean, I work in the cybersecurity software industry, and what you're adopting is very similar to the DevOps approach within the industry, software industry. However, you're tacking it onto an electronics device. I think that's the difficulty for some customers to see it as an electronic device, and it's like, okay, it should work, right? X, Y, and Z. However, they're not making the leap to understand it's actually the software that's the most important thing. And with software, you have a development ops approach, a DevOps approach, which is very agile. And it requires that, you get feedback from as many people as possible. And if you're only sending out a device to a small number of people who are only going to use it for a small number of hours each week, you're not going to get a whole body of work coming back from a beta test. I actually think what you're doing is very much inspired and very much in line with the community aspect of the company. And I think... What it will do will actually raise the bar for a lot of other companies to get engaged in this type of activity, because realistically, Nokta are the only people who are actually releasing any updates anymore at all on any of the brands. So it's very much in tune with your community aspect with the company. And I'm very happy to see this new beta testing program coming.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I just want to say one more thing. I mean, so people don't misunderstand. I mean, not everybody is, of course, complaining. We have a huge amount of, customers who also support regardless of what we do. So I want to thank them, too, because there's also a huge number of people who understand what it takes, okay, and how it goes and how it works. And they wait patiently. If I have a problem, they have the trust in us and the faith in us. And they say, hey, I'm not worried because we know Nokta is going to get it right. Because at the end of the day, no matter, it may take longer, shorter, but we do get it right, regardless of what the problem is.
And absolutely. So how is the you don't have to answer this, right? This is a sales question, and maybe it's inside baseball, I shouldn't ask it, but how are the sales tracking compared to Simplex at a similar period when the Simplex was released for the Legend? Is it tracking better, on par, or just by the nature of the fact that it's a more expensive machine that it's you're not selling the same volume?
The sales are great, okay. We're very happy with the sales, but then again, I think it would be really wrong to compare the Legend sales to the Simplex sales. Number one, the price point, okay? Because if you look at my Simplex sales numbers today, they keep on growing. You know what I mean? And it's been what? We released in 2019. Right now, it's just based on the number of units, it's like the number one seller in many countries, if you just look at numbers, it would be wrong to compare the Legend sales to the Simplex sales just because of the price point, number one. And don't forget, the second thing is, Legend is still new, okay? We announced it last year, but then again, we couldn't really start shipping it till I think it was February and like March when people just got it in their hands. And because of the updates that we've been given, many people actually waited for us to make all those changes. Because let's say we said, okay, we're going to add an iron filter to it. Many customers wanted to wait for that feature because they said, I don't want the product without this feature. So now we are seeing a really good increase in the Legend sales these past 2 months. And we're very happy. The trend is upwards significantly. And the other thing is, I think because I talk to the distributors and customers around the world, unfortunately, this year is a tough year for the whole industry. So 2019, especially 2020, when Corona hit, everybody saw a huge boost in the hobby sector. And this didn't really apply to the sectors only. Anything related to outdoors and hobby, you know, was a big boost in sales. So so the Legend sales today would be very unrealistic to compare it to the Simplex sales 2 years ago numbers. But if I compare it now, what I want to say is when I compare it to the sales of my competitors, we achieved what we want to achieve.
Perfect. And that was kind of the reasoning for my question. I just wanted to see, were you happy with how it's going? Okay, just to wrap up on the Legend bit, I suppose, you have a new accessory system box cover coming out. When is that going to be available?
New system box cover? Yeah, we just started shipping it to the distributors just recently.
Okay. So a couple of weeks for that to get out to the into people's hands? Yeah.
We have it in stock, in full stock. So we're just shipping. We started to include them in the orders. So it depends on where you are in the world and who your distributor is. You know, it's going to be a different time frame.
Sure. Okay, the elliptical coil. Any update on the elliptical coil?
Okay, I'm going to repeat this. I am done with giving dates. I never want to go through the abuse I went through with the Legend. It's in progress. It's in progress. I'm asking please for a little bit more patience from our customer base. Yeah. We're going to release it this year, but don't ask me which month, what date. The coil is done. We're really in the tooling process right now. The tooling takes a long time.
Okay.
The tooling can sometimes 2 months. I don't remember exactly when we sent it for tooling, but it's in the tooling process. That's not finished yet. But actually, the coil is done, and we're coming out with two optional coils initially, and 9.5 by 5.5, and I believe 12 by 9.
Wow, that sounds exciting.
Yeah.
And just the last one, the Bluetooth pinpointer for the Legend. The compatible
one. Again, no date. It's in progress. Okay. No date. I was just in the project meeting the other day with the engineers. It's progressing. The design is done. We're going to be sending it to the tooling soon. Okay. And the specs are all determined. And now I'm actually waiting to see the first prototype myself.
Wow.
Which I haven't Perfect. Seen yet. But the design, the shape, the functions, it's all determined. And if everything goes fine with the testing and everything works as we design, it's going to be a one button operation pinpoint.
Wow, sounds great. That's it. I'm done with the Legend.
Okay.
We've talked about the Legend. Let's talk about the Simplex. You mentioned how great it is. I actually believe it's a great detector at such a great price point. Any major updates coming here for the Simplex?
No, we are done with any updates for the Simplex, and I mentioned this so many times on other platforms. And the reason for that is, I mean, as the name suggests, yes, it has a very good performance, very good depth, okay, like a high-end detector. But then again, it is simple enough for a beginner. Now, all these extra things that our customers are asking us to put in the Simplex, we will not. And the only reason is you need to understand this is our kind of like entry level. The performance is not entry level, but the price point. So when somebody steps into metal detecting and into my brand, especially, we want to give them a detector with a great performance, but easy to use and understand. That's why the name is Simplex, simple enough, you know, for the beginners and, you know, impressive enough for the experienced users. If we start now adding all these settings and features that people are asking about, it's not going to be a Simplex anymore. You know what I mean? And we already gave a bunch of, you know, like updates for the Simplex. So we're not planning to give any more updates for the Simplex. And some people, and speaking of upgrades, I want to also clarify something. I mean, I understand not many people understand how this whole electronics and software works, but sometimes people think that you can do anything with a software update. You cannot. When it comes to electronics and when it comes to metal detectors, there are certain things that you can never do through a software update. For example, they're asking us to change, to add multi-frequency to Simplex. We cannot. We have to create a new device from scratch because simultaneous multi-frequency is a whole different topology. It's a whole different platform. It's a whole different hardware. So you cannot take a Simplex and just, you know, do a software update and make it a multi-frequency machine. It doesn't work that way. So, and this applies to all my machines. Sometimes people request things for my other machines. Guys, it's not as easy as it seems. Things that we can do with a software update, we are doing, like for the Legend. But the Simplex, guys, Simplex has to stay simple.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the other devices. So we've already talked about the Simplex and the Legend. I'm going to rattle off a list of your devices. And you say, yes, there's potentially could be an update on this, or no, there could. You don't have to commit to anything or anything like that. Just, you know, what is there an update even from a physical point of view to the device or whatever? Okay. Uh-huh. So let's start with the Amphibio Multi.
Amphibio Multi. There was one big complaint about the Amphibio Multi, and we actually did give an update a couple of months ago on it, which was the overload tone. That was the biggest complaint about the Amphibio Multi, and we did give an update. I think it's been, I don't know how many months. Maybe it was last year, but I don't remember exactly. At this point, we don't have anything else planned for the Amphibio. And like I said, the other thing is, this is how we decide on an update. We do updates based on two things. One, bugs, if there are any reported bugs, which there is none with the Amphibio. And second, you know, requests from end users and complaints or requests from end users. And overload was the biggest one. So we did add an overload volume control on it, okay? But other than that, there are some requests from customers that we cannot implement because it's not only about the software. So at this point, we don't have anything else planned. And other than the Amphibio, Pulse Dive is not an updatable pinpointer. I mean, we don't really see a need to have an updatable pinpointer because the functions are very limited to begin with. You know what I mean? The pinpointer, I mean, how much can you do with a pinpointer? And our kids' detectors, they're not updatable because we had to keep them very simple and very, you know, cheap so that, you know, parents could afford them, you know, for their kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I mean, my I totally understand that you couldn't update a pulse dive. I suppose the nature of my question around that would be, would there be any new accessories coming for it, or a new coil head or anything like that, you know, for the pulse dive or anything like that. But, you know, I totally understand what you mean that, you know.
We don't have any new accessories coming for the pulse dive because, you know, we already, we also released, we have two different, you know, packages for the pulse dive. We have the 2-in-1 set with the pinpointer and the small coil for divers. And then we came out with a scuba detector version of it with no pinpointer, just with a larger 8-inch coil. So we're not going to be adding, I mean, to be honest with you, we didn't really get any requests to add any more accessories to it, but we will work on a different machine for underwater. Actually, we probably soon the project is going to be kicked off, where we're going to be working on another underwater machine problem.
Hot take there, people. News just in. This year, Jaleka, this year, December this year, do you want to commit to a date?
The project is just starting. I'm not committing to anything.
Okay, and I suppose second last question. What's next for Nocta? You know, you just mentioned this other detector. Anything amazing coming on down the pipeline? Maybe GPS?
Well, we have a few projects, which... I cannot really talk about all of them yet, but I can mention one that I mentioned already on other platforms, pulse induction. It's in the works. Okay. And then maybe another, you know, SMF, simultaneous multi-frequency device.
Okay. Very exciting. Okay. You've been very, very guarded and cryptic, but I like it. You're holding your cards close to your chest.
Because see, the thing is, these are very, you know, like, how can I say? I mean, the pulse has really, we are more than halfway through. We're probably going to finish that project in 2023, next year. Hopefully, you know, if everything goes fine, if all the tests are fine, you know, that should be, you know, finalized in 2023. But anything else is really at the very early stage. I don't really want to talk about, because sometimes we talk about things, but then we decide not to do it, or the project takes a whole different turn. You know, we do something completely different. That's why, you know, I don't want to, you know, give too much information or detail in case it never happens. That's the only reason.
Go on. <Tell us. laughs> Okay, last question, Dilek. What advice would you give to anybody using the Nocta macro detectors? Or any detectors out there?
Advice? Who is just starting or?
Yeah, someone who's just starting, yeah.
I would say give it time.
Buy a simplex.
Of course. Unrivaled. I would say give it time, because I see many new starters, you know, I read a lot of posts. You know, they take the detector, they only use it for a few hours. Oh, I don't understand this. Why is it doing this? Why is it doing that? Is this normal? Is this not? Just relax, okay? Because, you know, I think this is one hobby where you shouldn't be stressing, but, you know, enjoying. So this is what I always say, just like you said before, like a musical instrument, every device has its own language, so to say. That's how I describe it. You need to learn its language first, you know, from its tones, its responses, what it does, you know, when you do when you swing it in a certain way, it does something. When you swing it in a different direction, it does something else. So you really need to give any detector, regardless of which brand or model it is, give it some time, be patient, okay? Learn your device, enjoy it. The finds will come. I think people worry too much about the finds, you know, that they want to start finding things right away. You know, just put thought aside when you take that detector in your hand and learn it. Be friends with it, okay? Like it, the finds will come. Believe me, that's all I'm going to say.
Some excellent words there from Dilek. And thank you very much, Dilek, for coming on this week. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Sure. Thank you for having me on this show. And thank you to whoever is out there listening to this podcast. Thank you so much.
And that's it, guys. I really enjoyed interviewing Dilek this week. If you like this episode and like more, go check out the website, www.medicaltechnicshow.com. Check out the Patreon page. Check out Buy Me a Coffee. You know all the stuff. But really, if you like it, tell your friends, like and subscribe and all that stuff. Once again, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll chat to you all again next week. Get out there, eyes down, good luck, and happy hunting.